Hit songs, check. Hit TV show, check. Iconic TV role, check. Producer starred in Emmy-winning series, dad, movies, dancing, beautiful wife. Check, 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 check. Ron Moss is next. Don't go anywhere.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I think I should skate this song back in the day. When I was roller skating in Venice. You know, it's...
Me too.
I think you probably were. Probably the same skating rinks, probably. Hi, you guys. Welcome to Spotlight On here on AfterBuzz TV. I'm your host, James Lott Jr. And I have such a thrill today for me. This is like a bucket list moment for me. I'll tell you. He has the best features that were ever on daytime television. Someone told me the other day, like, just jaw just made for daytime TV. But he also was in a hit band. It's still around today, player. Hit TV shows like Bold and Beautiful in the Bay. He's done movies. He did Celebrity Wife Swap. I remember that episode. He has seasonings, which I have one right here, of course. And he's just an awesome, cool dude who just exudes that he has it. And he's in my studio sitting next to me. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ron Moss. How are you, sir?
Thank you, James. It was one hell of an introduction.
Of course,
for you. I can't possibly live up to that.
You can. You're going to do it. I mean, okay, so one of the things I want to start, because this song, Baby Come Back, was number one, 1978. I knew it. You're at this stage now, because that literally is like 39 years ago.
Yeah, that's unbelievable.
Isn't that crazy? I mean, it's like, I remember the song, you remember the song, obviously, but it's like, it stands the test of time.
It has. That's the difference. A lot of songs will just come out. I think we have a lot of music today that will come out and you'll never hear it again. But it's just that this sort of stood the test of time, like you said, and we're very happy. It's been in so many different incarnations mm-hmm. during the lifetime.
Your music, just period, very funky. Like, I don't think you guys get enough credit for having... A lot of your songs were very rhythmic, very funky, almost kind of R&B-ish to me.
Definitely R&B. We were they called it Blue-Eyed Soul back then.
Yeah.
That's the name they...
Right, Hall & Oates, you guys.
And...
Bee Gees.
We would go into black-oriented radio stations in the South back when we released the record. And the guy... We walked in... Four guys in silk shirts and tie, you know, scarves and shit like that. And these guys looked at us like, we thought you guys were going to be black. We just assumed from the sound of your record that you were going to be black. And we surprise.
And one of the guys is British. So, I mean, that's even different. No, because you guys were played on black radio. I mean, I remember it. I mean, you guys, your sound was effortless. It just seemed so effortless.
But it was rock and roll and R&B.
Mm-hmm. Which we don't, back then, there were some blurred lines back then that happened, especially in the 70s. But I was just thinking, I was going through your music, I'm like, yeah, it was very rhythmic, very just like funky.
We had the combination of bass and drums, myself and my friend John Friesen, who I played with since I was 13 years old.
Oh my God.
We grew up playing together and we just locked. It was a lock thing. That's why we started Baby Come Back that way. We started a couple other songs, just bass and drums. It became kind of a little lick that we would do.
Yeah.
But it was cool. It was cool.
God. Okay, so I have a little surprise because my mother, I inherited her record collection. So I was just going through, I was like, I'm going to go through her record collection, see if she was a fan, and she was a fan. She told me that you look hotter now than you did then, so she told me to tell you that. Benita, my mother Benita told me to tell you that. But this album.
Wow.
You got to sign it for me, of course.
Wow. This is from a long time ago.
Yes, a long time, from the 70s, Danger Zone, and you're on there, of course. When you see that, what do you think when you look at that? First of all, it's a record, but when you look at that,
it brings back memories of shooting that. I remember going up into the hills, in the Hollywood Hills, and shooting this. But you know what this brings back? This brings back. I was thinking the other day, why don't we have DVDs in this same format?
Right.
The DVDs in the middle, and you still have the stuff that people can look at when they buy your record. All this stuff was so cool.
Remember, back in the day, for you guys who are not old enough, album art was a thing, first of all.
Yeah.
And you wanted the lyrics, you wanted to see who the credits
you
were.
You put on the record pictures. And you just listen and scour through all the information about the group and the people, and it's so great.
Yeah, so I have that. So you guys signed that for me, of course. It's a little old, but you know, I kept it.
It looks well worn.
Good songs on it, too. It's
well
good.
Used.
I have a record player, so I was playing it the other day, but you got to find that at some point. But we'll leave it there. We're going to talk about your music first, because to me it's a fascinating part that you're through line even until today. You're one of the few artists, like, I make sure I phrase this correctly, you're one of the few artists who has had success on the top of two separate mediums. You had a number one song, which not everybody gets. There are people who are super famous who have never had a number one song. And so for that week or whatever, how long it was number one, you were number one. You were the best of the charts. Mm-hmm. Bold and Beautiful, you were on a show's number one soap in the world. So you've had two iconic that you actually were the best of. Like, do you ever think about that at all? Or is it kind of like this? It's like, I was just doing the work and I lucked out twice.
I did luck out twice. I always am grateful for everything that happens that way. But I consider it just wearing different hats. But it's all part of the same creative process. And I love just doing things that are creative. I have several other things that we do too. But people always ask, what would you rather do? Acting or the music?
See, that's why I didn't want to ask you that. Because I'm like, I think to me, you could do both. Why can't you do both?
I'll ask it before you do. And I don't have to choose.
No,
that's the cool thing. You can do both. You can do what you set out to do. That's the great thing about being where we are in this time. So I don't have a favorite. I have a favorite depending on what I'm doing at the particular time.
That makes sense.
But it's totally fine to be able to do both.
It is. And people do it well. I mean, people do both do it well. I mean, but was each success, did it feel different?
Very.
Yeah.
Very. The different mediums, different... I gotta say, there's nothing more fun than playing rock and roll on stage.
That's my dream.
25,000 people.
Oh my God!
It was just—it's just a rush that you can't really describe, but you can imagine how it feels. And you're doing it, and it's live, and it's just spontaneous. You've rehearsed it, but it's still spontaneous. You never really know how things are going to come across. So it's just nothing like it to see that energy out in front of you when you're both feeding each other. Because we definitely feed off the audience, mm-hmm. and they're enjoying what we're doing. So it's a symbiotic relationship. It has to happen that way.
I want to mention to people out there, he's toured people like Boss Gaz, Eric Clapton, Heart, which I love, Kenny Loggins, Christopher Kloss, Orleans, Little River Band, Ambrosia. I used to love Ambrosia. Stephen Bishop, just to name a few. So you've been around the world, been around the country touring. What's the best part about touring that you like? What's the worst part about touring that you don't like?
The best part is that hour and a half on stage.
Yeah, I'm sure.
The worst part is the traveling.
Oh, yeah.
The schlepping around.
Oh, yeah.
The hotel rooms, all that. You just have to kind of get over it because it's not glamorous usually. No. And you're just schlepping. You're carrying your bags. You're carrying equipment and stuff. And that's just the part of life.
Yeah. But being on stage, I mean, I can only imagine. Just being on stage and everybody's just... They're all into you, meaning which is your group. They're into you. Or some of them are into you yourself. And each band member, they're probably into certain ones. They're into you, and they give you all the energy. It must be a super rush. So do you feel that some people, why they fall apart, because it goes away a little bit for them? They can't handle it because it's such a big rush? Like I said, something that's really just powerful?
I can't answer for everybody. I just know it feels great. Even if you're feeling kind of down before you go on stage, mm-hmm. you get into an energy, and it just starts going, and it feeds you. And you become something else. It becomes freeing in a way. That's what I always found. I was a very shy kid.
Wow.
But once I got on stage, mm-hmm. everything was open to me. And it was such a great feeling.
You hear that a lot of time. People say, in personal life, I don't mind a big talker or on this, but you go on stage and all of a sudden, because you're somebody else, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, wow.
Freedom.
Freedom. Now, you guys, he was on RSL Records, and some of you guys don't know this. That's the Robert Stigler Organization. And we're talking people like Bee Gees, Andy Gibb, Yvonne Elliman, Eric Clapton. I mean, people were... The Saturday Night Fever soundtrack, the Fame soundtrack. I mean, people... This is a big label. You guys run a big label.
We got asked... Player got asked, the four of us, got asked to go to New York. My first time to New York.
Okay.
And it was for something innocuous. It was the Dino De Laurentiis wanted us there for the opening of his movie called The King of... The King of Horror...
King of New York? It sounds like, I want to say King of New York.
I can't remember the name anymore. Yeah. Anyway, he wanted us there for the premiere of this movie. And so my first trip, we get on for first class. They're flying us there to do all this.
Wow.
Well, unbeknownst to us, sitting right behind us is Robert Stigwood, the guy whose record company we just signed to, and David Frost.
David Frost? Oh, my God. Wow.
You know, presumed intellectual talk show host guy, right?
I like that.
So yes. The four of us and our couple of managers and those two guys. So we went upstairs to the 747 lounge, which used to be.
Oh, those old days. Oh, yes.
It was a lounge, and Robert Stigwood played bartender for us for 5 hours.
Oh, my God.
Going to New York. It was fun.
Sure.
So he takes us to his three-story park, penthouse Park Avenue apartment, and plays us the just-pressed Saturday Night Fever.
Oh, my God.
We're hearing it first before anybody, and we just go, holy crap. One song after another.
I know.
Something's about to break, sir. Something's happening. One song is greater than the next. It just keeps getting better.
Amazing
and better.
Soundtrack.
Holy crap. And we were amazed, just totally amazed, because we could feel something was about to happen big.
Because Robert Stigwood, people don't know this, he was the management also. I mean, he would direct people's careers.
Yeah.
Not just be like a head of a label. He was like saying, well, we'll talk about your acting thing. He led you to acting too, kind of. He directed the Bee Gees into these big. I mean, it was the number one album of the world for years until Thriller. I mean, it was like huge.
Yeah.
Grease was a soundtrack that was on RSO. It was huge. We'll give a shout out to the fans who are in the chat room live. They're in here and
tell
they're saying
hi
to you. And one of them wants to ask you, yes. Music wise, this is Jacob Marquez. He's a big fan of AfterBuzz TV and he watches all our shows. Jacob wants to know, Ron, what is your favorite type of music as a music fan?
As a music fan, I love pretty much all types of music. I must say my weakest one is rap.
Okay.
That's just my weakest like.
Okay.
But I love all types of classical, rock and roll, R&B, blues, surf music, jazz, Celtic music. I listen to a lot of different styles just because I like the feeling of all the different things. And so there we go.
Yeah, it's just the yeah.
That was an answer with no answer.
But no, it was an answer. You like all kinds of music. That's not like a, you like all kinds of music, and that probably helps influence you in your just everyday life and in your music and your solo music and your acting. It's just you like music.
Mm-hmm.
He's a musical person. He likes music. So this was the late 70s, folks. So we're going to show a couple of clips because we just have to because the hair, his pink outfit, or whatever. We have to show some of the stuff that goes on. I guess it's kind of reddish. Here's from the Midnight Special. I mean, you mentioned, I'm like, Wolfman Jack. I forgot about him. Take a look at this.
All right. We'd like to thank our guests, ABBA, Jay Ferguson, New Birth, Queen, The Rattles, and the Starland Vocal Band.
Vocal band. Here we go.
And thank you, Wolfman, and all the people at the Midnight Special. We've had a great time.
Love that outfit.
And a special thanks to all of you for making this a very special year for all of us. Good morning.
So I just want to show that Midnight Special was the thing that was on TV late night, and you guys actually hosted this whole episode. The acts on it, like ABBA, so I spoke about some great acts, yeah. Queen. It was great. Look, I love your outfit. I just think, what's going on
below
the leg?
I used to wear these just boots and leg warmers, and just I wore shit just to get this, just to see the looks on the guys' faces. I actually had a see-through plastic suit made once.
What? Oh, my God.
And I wore it just to see the look on their faces. And I'd come in women's pajamas and whatever. It was just one of those times I just sort of went, what the hell? I just want to see people, make people laugh.
You know? It was so 70s.
It got to where the guy, I would walk in and something, whatever it was, the guys would do this. Okay, whatever. There he is. There's another one.
I love it. And we show another. This is from a performance, literally, like, again, 39 years ago, at Capitol Theater in New Jersey. Let's show a little bit of this. This is before videos, you guys. I mean, there was no things such as videos
right.
Back then.
That's when you just had to do it for real.
Yes, yes. When you see this, what comes to mind immediately? You look at that. Besides, you have to do it for real. Like that's a real thought, of course.
It's almost like I can't remember these things.
Well, you church so much, I'm sure you can't remember everything.
But I just remember you had to just be real about it and do it for real, and there was no BS, and you didn't have tracks to back you up, or you just had to go out and do it.
When you tour stuff, do guitars go out? Do things like, do mishaps happen like that? Like, do
all the time.
Yeah. So
all the time. Yeah.
Do you have several guitars you tour with that you can just grab at? Or
we would usually have a duplicate. Each of us would have a duplicate of something, but you kind of have to.
Because I always wonder about that. I always wonder because, I mean, you're playing hard every night. You're doing, you're restringing and all this. I just wonder if something falls apart and you're like.
We were on the cruise several months back with Ambrosia and Little River Band and all these guys. And we had one, our final night, and we're rehearsing. And the Peter's guitar got knocked off the stand, hit the floor, and the neck just went.
Oh.
And he didn't have another guitar.
Oh my God.
He just brought one thinking that'll suffice on this cruise thing. So
well,
we had other friends and other groups.
Oh, okay.
You, you can use mine.
I was going to say, what did he do after that? Just pantomime?
Yeah, like, but it happens. All kinds of stuff happens.
Yeah. What's one of the craziest things that happened to you on stage?
Oh, God. Well, I remember going down to the edge of the stage one night, 35,000 people, and some girl stuck her hands down the tops of my boots.
Oh.
And got a good grip and started pulling me into the audience. So I was like, you know, on my back, and they're all like pulling me in.
Oh my God.
And the roadie guys had to come and kind of grab me, and I was still playing.
I
didn't lose
right.
any notes at all.
The show must go on. Hello.
There was another one where we're filming a video where you just filmed it with a film camera, right?
Yeah.
That's the way we do it. We'd film us actually playing. Well, we had the stage full of smoke. And back then, the smoke was the greasy type.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah,
we
yeah.
had 3 feet of greasy smoke. So I got up in the drum riser, did a little turn, and hit the floor and went, shoo!
Oh, my God.
All they saw was a puff of smoke.
It's a magic trick.
But I didn't stop playing.
Okay, hey. Season.
And I actually popped up somewhere else.
True.
I mean,
professional.
The guys were just cracking up.
Professional. One of your other songs I really like was a top 10. It's called This Time I'm In It for Love.
Yeah.
Love that song also. I like that song. Really good
we
song.
still play that one live as well.
Yeah, it's a good one. Now, you guys have, like I said, had various incarnations. And so now he actually showed up and the band on General Hospital in 2014, the Nurses Ball. They just had their recent Nurses Ball just happen again. They do it every year, of course. You guys don't watch General Hospital. And it was such a nice surprise. I was like, oh my God, it's Rod Moss. Here's a scene he did. Yeah, I think it's the one with little Nicholas Bechtel, who plays Spencer, who I love.
Let me preface this with nobody in the cast or crew knew who was going to be behind the curtain when it opened.
Oh! So the reaction shots are for real.
When they opened the curtain, they had no idea who was going to be there, and they saw that it was me for the first time. And I know all the people.
Yeah, of course. I've
known each other for years.
Yes.
All I could see, all their faces going, holy shit. Holy shit, it's wrong.
I would die too. Like, wait a minute. We know him. He's his man. So let's show this part.
Thanks, Mr. Moss. I really appreciate you coming on such short notice.
We're happy we could do it. Right, guys?
Yep.
Yeah. Rock on, little dude. He's a pick for you.
Thanks.
I would do anything for your Grandma Leslie, you know that? Because she's what we call a real peach.
That she is. And by the way, I really love your new CD.
Thank you, my friend. I want to wish you good luck. I hope you get your girlfriend back.
Me too.
We love that actor. He's so good.
He was too cute.
He's so talented.
He's too cute. Yeah,
he's too cute. That's a great scene. But like we saw that, we're like, wait a minute. Like I was like, what? Watching it, and then we said, let's show this next scene because now I get that backstory. Let's show the entrance of this.
Emma and Cameron, I'm sorry to interrupt your dance. You two were fantastic, but Emma Drake. This song is for you. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting player!
What is that bass?
How?
That bass is like...
Did you help him?
That's funny, so they didn't know this.
Mr. Bartangle, I regret that, but I had to do something bold and beautiful to try to make up.
Beautiful, but I'm bummed.
You made this all for me? Yes, I did. Come on, Emma, let's go. Hear the rest of the song.
Okay. We love her too, well, actress. So I just want to show that because it's like, you show, because I think my friends were like, oh my God, Rod Moss, oh my God. I was like, we were so surprised also. What a nice surprise that was.
It was fun. I was pleasantly surprised that GH would have us on.
Yeah.
Because technically, you never have other people from other shows.
Yeah, exactly.
But I hadn't been on the show for a while. Yeah. I knew the executive producers. They're all great over there. Yeah. I know all the actors.
Yes.
We all know each other. So I was really kind of honored to be on the show like that.
That's so funny. I love it. That was so great. I mean, you also did other versions on recent CDs too. I mean, is this a song that you never get tired of? Probably. It's like you probably now it's part of your family, isn't it?
And now you can have you can buy cleaning material with it.
Yeah, I
you know.
So how's that? So you must be rich because I'm sure whoever. Well, who wrote the song actually? It was the lead singer wrote the song, didn't he? Or who wrote it?
JC and Peter wrote a song.
So they're taking some money home, I guess, for those cleaning products.
Well, we all are, because they had to license it from us.
Very good. See, guys, 30, 40 years later, your song could be in a cleaning commercial. And
who would have thought, though? But it was also in a Toyota commercial in Australia.
Oh, my
for
God.
For 3 years, they've run it. And not just a 30-second commercial. It was about 2.5 minutes. Of a commercial, told this whole story: his car going off a cliff, and the guy finding his truck at the bottom in the beach. You know, but it was a long commercial, but it ran for 3 years. So those are just great little perks of having a song. Like that.
Yes, and he does solo stuff too. It was one of his solo CDs. You have toured solo twice in Australia.
I have.
Was it like touring solo versus the band?
I like it. I like it. I did take the band with me.
Okay.
Once.
Okay.
One of the times I took player with me. So I went out by myself for an hour and 15 minutes and did a solo thing acoustically and told jokes and showed clips that I have filmed because I've filmed behind the scenes of B&B for 25 years.
Yeah, oh yeah.
I showed little clips and we just had fun. It was like a real intimate one-on-one with the audience.
Wow.
And then I'd bring the band out and we'd do 45 minutes or so.
That's very cool, actually. That's a great idea. It's like a little traveling show. Like you had a little bit of everything.
Yeah. But I did the same kind of thing with an Australian band the year before.
Okay.
But it all works well. And we're actually going to go, I'm going to Belgium in a few weeks now and do a similar thing.
Wow.
Just my solo stuff.
With the group, I guess you have your placements. That's all set. And you stick to that, of course. When you're solo, I guess you go anywhere. The stage is all yours, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
Yeah. I like having that one-on-one contact with the audience. It's really cool because it gives them a chance to speak personally and ask me things. I say, ask me anything you want. You know, but let's talk about stuff.
Also, during your show, you do that. You do that.
Yeah.
Wow, that's very cool.
It's not just me up there just performing. I get to the end of the audience. We have a good personal chat.
That's so. Oh my God, it's so much fun. Yeah. Oh my God,
it works really well.
So, do you ever do any dates here in America at all?
We have one coming up July 10th in Huntington Beach. It's at the Huntington Beach Library, of all places. They have a beautiful 300-plus seat theater.
What?
So we're coming up.
I'll have to come to that.
Yeah.
I'm in town. I have to come to that. I would love
June 10th.
Okay. Wow. That's June 10th. June 10th, you guys.
Saturday, June 10th at the Huntington Beach Theater.
Wow.
It's going to be a cool show.
That's amazing. Okay, that's good. So, folks, you guys are fans. You can go there.
It's going to be Player and Diane and the Deductibles.
Oh, great name.
That's a local group. They live down there, and they're the ones sort of organizing all this. So come down and join us on June 10th.
Wow, that's great. So you got, again, the music is part of your life. It's been whatever. So now we're going to go into some of your acting. And, obviously you got to talk about your iconic role as one of the original foursome of Bone Beauty. You know, it's celebrating 30 years this year. Of course.
Yeah,
did you watch any of the episodes, the 30th episodes? You watch any of them with John McCook and Kathy Curley Lane kind of coming together? And
the ones now?
Yeah.
I haven't seen anything. I haven't seen anything in 5 years.
You have created an iconic character, which, again, as an actor, most people, you come, you're a nomad. You're very nomadic. You come on, you play as many roles as you can, as you said, the trick.
Right.
But you were blessed with this iconic character. And you've been gone for 5 years. I'm sure people come to you all the time and say, "Oh my God, come back! Where are you? What's going on?" I'm sure.
Yeah, I get that a lot. And I just have to say, sorry, that parking spot is filled right now.
Yeah,
it's not going to happen.
You're busy. You're totally busy.
I'm busy with other things. I have cultivated other things to do. But that 25 years was wonderful.
I'm sure.
And I always have gratitude to Bill and Lee Bell for giving me that opportunity that long ago.
So Robert Stigwood, did he mention that to you? That, because Player was kind of like like, were you guys like kind of slowing down, or just like he was saying, try acting or something?
He did. Right? He did, and that's what forced me into the kind of new hat of acting. He just said, you should think about acting, you know.
What do you think?
He kind of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, and goes, I mean, look what I did for John Travolta, because John Travolta had done that little series,
yes,
where he had a long string of nothing, and then Saturday Night Fever.
Yes.
So he just wanted to encourage me to do that. And I actually wish that I had gone back to Robert and gone, so what do you got? Let's do something.
Yeah, let's do something.
He's out in his boat, you know, 12 miles out. But he has...
He earned it. He totally earned it.
We have since lost him last year.
Yeah, but, I know. I was sad because, to me, I was a huge fan of that whole time period, the Bee Gees and all that. And I knew his importance. I personally knew his importance. So I was like, that's really a loss, actually.
Yeah.
He made some major things for music and for film.
I agree.
And for film. I mean, he was a hard worker, I'll tell you folks. So I want to ask you, this is Word Association, which is a couple of your leading ladies. So they were on the show. And the fans in here are just like, they're blowing up, of course, in here. Susan Flannery.
Intelligent, funny, irreverent, a real body lady. That's an old term.
Yes.
Body.
Yeah,
right?
But I love the word. I love the word.
Gutsy.
Yeah.
Just doesn't give a shit.
Yes, I love that.
She'll say whatever she wants, no matter what.
Was, in your opinion, was Riz the love of her life, so to speak?
Her oldest son? Mm-hmm. Yeah, probably.
Everybody kind of feels like, when we talk about that, it's like, Ridge seemed like, I mean, she loved Eric and everybody, but
there was a real connection between Ridge and Stephanie, and
yes,
people would go, what's going on there? You know, get a little mother-son thing. And it's like, no. It's just a love of your eldest son. And it's, I think we were probably more alike than not.
Interesting.
But I got along great with Susan. She was always great. I learned a hell of a lot from her and from John.
Sure. We're going to talk about John in a second, too. KKL, tell me something. Kathy Kelly Lang.
Catherine is just, I've been with Catherine technically longer than any other relationship in my life.
That's right.
It's true.
That's right.
We've been married, TV married.
On the show, folks. On the show.
Yes. I married her 7 times, actually. I didn't even know that until the last day I was working. Because they had 7 different pictures out there of each one.
That's so funny.
I didn't know how many. We didn't know.
I didn't know how many either. Just said that like 7, like dang.
7 times. But 11 total with you, with all the misses and all that stuff.
Yes, yes.
Kelly is very funny. She's very down to earth. She's very like hippie mom.
Okay.
She's very just easygoing, takes stuff as it comes, and she's wonderful to work with, very professional always.
I was going to say, the thing about Catherine Kelly Lang that I admire the most is no matter what they throw at Brooke, her character, she plays it 1,000%. She is in.
Yeah, yeah. One of our directors had this little thing that made us all laugh. He goes, if I'm ever on a plane that's going down, I want to be next to Catherine laughing. Because she has this great laugh.
Oh, how funny.
This sort of irreverent little high-pitched laugh.
Oh, Lord.
He says, I want to, because she's always up. She's always happy, you know.
Yeah.
So that said a lot.
That does say a lot, actually. Now, if there's folks in here who actually want to know, because this is a general question. Do you have a favorite Brooke and Ridge moment?
God, there were so
many.
There were so many, and it's impossible to choose.
Yeah.
I can only go with a few I remember. One was the elevator.
Oh,
where she strips down to her lingerie because it gets so hot we can't get out of the elevator.
Yes,
so I'm in my shorts and she's in her lingerie, and we wind up spilling out the door when the door opens, and she's on top of me, and I look up and there's and Taylor's sitting right there like,
yes.
You could hear her growling, I think. All the weddings.
All the weddings.
All the weddings. One in Malibu, Catherine rides. She's an excellent equestrian. She rides 100-mile endurance races.
Wow.
So she's coming down the trail on the horse in her dress, this beautiful dress. She's coming down the trail, gets down the trail, come down the beach, come down, stops, and falls off.
Oh my God.
Falls off the horse.
Equestrian.
I looked at her like, really? Seriously? She went, I don't know what happened. All of a sudden, I just was sliding off the horse.
Oh,
I went,
funny.
You do endurance races, and you just slid off a horse walking. It made me laugh. Everybody just went.
You're like, you understand, she really can ride a horse.
Yes.
Like, she really can. Like, she really can. But it's one of those freak accidents. Yep. I love that. That's so funny. Hunter Tylos, who's been speaking of one of your other major scene partners.
Hunter was a great other side of the Taylor Ridge, Brook Ridge thing that went on for years.
For years.
And she was very intelligent, very thoughtful about all the stuff that she would play. I would look at her script, and there would be more writing around the sides of it because she was writing notes and things that she wanted to do. And she was very thoughtful and very professional. Hunter and I had a great time doing this stuff. It was I feel very lucky to have had those two women to play opposite me all those years.
Yes.
Because it could have been a lot worse.
Ooh, we know that, don't we? We know that.
The amount of things that can go wrong is massive. And to get three people that work together well, I just feel very blessed. And that's what I remember.
Because people, I think at this point, you guys know out there, soap work, they're doing 60, 80 pages a day. They're working it out. They are, it's no time for
260 races. Shows a year.
Yeah, I know. That's a lot. That's a lot.
That's a lot of shows. That's a lot of writing. That's a lot of memorizing.
Yes.
And it's just having to do it every day.
How do you memorize lines? Do you have a system?
I had to just force myself to absorb it somehow. I would look at it at night, but often I was too tired to really absorb anything. I'd just look at it. I look at it in the morning, first thing when I wake up, open my eyes. And then we mostly learn it when we're getting our makeup.
Okay.
Catherine will be sitting in the chair. Hunter will be sitting in the chair. And I'll just come over and stand there, and we'll just run lines. That's when I would learn it. I have to depend on that short-term memory to kick in, and it wasn't easy.
How different was it from remembering music? Because you have to remember, because you have to use that muscle too to remember lyrics and chords.
Lyrics are a trick for me, even now.
Oh, really?
They are. I can't absorb that kind of thing. It doesn't follow any sense. It's like I don't have a story to follow, and I know, and nobody's speaking with me to respond with him. Oh, so you take that whole element, you just have to know it. It's like a monologue.
Yes, it is. You're right.
Memorize a monologue. And every song is like that. So I rely on my iPad now, I hate to say, because part of my brain that used to remember all that dialogue has deteriorated, I think. So I just rely on the iPad. I can't take the pressure of having to remember all this shit anymore. It's too much stuff in my brain.
Oh, okay. Folks are saying hi to Devin. Like, how do you know she's here? How do you know she's over here in the room? They're saying hi to you.
She is here.
She is here. We love her. She's in here. I told her I'd love her to death. Okay. They have a question. Candy Poo has a question. She's another fan of ours. If there's a fight between Ridge Forrester versus Blackwell from the Bay, who would win?
I think it's pretty obvious Blackwell would kick his
John
ass.
John Blackwell, that's right.
Kick his ass.
That's right. I think so, too.
My wife says John Blackwell would have Ridge Forrester for lunch.
I agree with you. I agree with you on that
one.
That's a fun question, Andy Poo. Orp Flo says, you had the best triangle in soap history.
Oh, thank you.
Hear that?
Thank you.
Now, we'll get to the men in a second. Like, we have questions about the men, too. Okay, so Joanna Johnson.
I love Joanna. She's
a great producer, by the way, and stuff now.
She is. Yeah. A great writer. She was always funny, always making us laugh, had a great sense of humor. She was also very professional. She was actually my first love interest on the show.
Yes.
It was Ridge and Caroline.
Yes.
We started that out for the first couple of years.
Yeah.
And I loved working with her. I was very comfortable with her. In fact, she got the part when I had already gotten the part. They had chosen me, and they brought me in to screen test with Joanna as a possible Caroline. They had a couple of different girls they were thinking about for that. And Joanna, I sat her on my leg like, who's the wooden puppet? Charlie McCarthy.
And Edgar. Yes.
I sat her on my leg, and we just started an improv. We just started throwing stuff back and forth. And the producers liked it so much that they went, that's what we're looking for. That's the girl. She has a great sense of humor. She can come up with stuff quickly.
Yeah.
And it was wonderful. And we just from doing that silly little thing, we didn't know how it was going to turn out. You know, we just kind of throw stuff out. But it worked.
I love that. Now, I got to bring up somebody who, great actress. Her Emmys are deserved. Loved her. Jennifer Finnegan.
Jennifer is She and I went through probably the hardest storyline that I had to deal with.
You can say about me, you had to ask.
She was my daughter that I gave birth to. And then I find out that she's actually my dad's daughter.
Yes.
Biologically.
Yes.
So, but I had raised her. She was raised as Ridge's daughter.
Yes.
Well, what do you say about writers when they say, okay, she just found out that her biological dad is no longer me. It's my dad. So technically, I'm not biologically her father. So therefore, she's going to become infatuated and romantic with me. After I raised her as my daughter. And we had, Jennifer and I had the toughest time every day. We'd come in and go, what the hell are we going to do today? How are we going to do this? They're going to hate me. Everybody's going to hate me.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly.
Time.
Right.
I cannot pursue this. So we just tried to change it into kidding and you know, noogies on the head and stuff and little rubber band fights and stuff. And I just tried, and whatever she did, I just sort of deflected it and laughed and made a joke and all. And we just had to do this every day. The weird thing is, half the people liked it.
No, I know. There are people who, I was going to say that next.
50% of the people wanted to see us in a relationship.
Where we go,
And 50% would be horrified.
Yeah.
But it was exactly even right down the...
Well, it's funny because, I mean, looks-wise, those guys look great together. I mean, looks, we just go by looks by itself and not relationship-wise. Like, they look at two attractive people.
But if you knew the history.
Yeah, if you knew the history, you're right. That's the weird part. It's like, oh, my God.
All I could see was, this is it for me. My character's done. I'm done.
But again, true professional, you're like, I got to do a job, and my job is to come in here and
try and make it work somehow. So we did the best we could, but Jen was so much fun to play with. She was just a great, she's a very talented comedic actress as well, and it was so much fun.
Yeah, so I'm glad you were okay to talk about that. Okay, so now let's talk about some of the men. So I'm going to show a scene that I love this scene because there's so much subtext in it too. The three titans, the late Joe Mascolo, of course, we'll talk about him in a second, John McCook, and this man right here.
Establish some parameters.
And Massimo feels that he should be the one to set them all.
I'll decide how this is going to be handled.
Ridgie has your whole life planned out for you, you and the children. And not surprisingly, I'm not a part of that.
That is your interpretation.
Oh, we both know you're going to do everything you possibly can to squeeze me out of their lives.
This is not the time to get into this.
Rich, you have to know what he has planned.
Don't I have a right to plan after all that has been kept from me, all that I have been denied? Eric, I appreciate what you've done for my son.
You have no idea.
Okay.
What I've done for him or what he's done for me. You know nothing about our relationship. And if you cared anything about him...
Stop it right now! I've heard enough. Are you questioning my love for my own flesh and blood?
Look, Father, I've asked you to leave.
Wait. Uh-oh. This is good.
Why don't you call him? You call him Father.
A man you've known less than a year and you call him Father.
Yeah, well,
Dad, wait!
This is one of my favorite scenes of Bulger from all time. I think there's so much in the scene. And all three of you just act the hell out of it. Like, you're torn. You care.
No, I'm rich.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Ba-dum-bum.
But no, but your character is torn between these two guys. It's not your fault. You're just a product of what happened. Massimo wants to be your father. Eric has been your father. He's hurt. Yeah. I mean, like, that's my favorite scenes of, I mean, just of all time.
It's intense stuff. It was great. Massimo, when I was believed to be Massimo's son,
then,
people, fans, when I would do my concerts, they would come up to me. And they would say this like I didn't know, and they were telling me for the first time, Massimo is your father! Massimo is your father! And I just look at him like, Really? How do you know? But they would tell me just earnestly, like, this is just information you need to know.
But, right.
Because you're not looking like you know that on the show yet, right? And they'd make me laugh.
Yeah, that's laughing. The fans, they love it. I mean, but I just, I mean, that's a masterclass in that. You have these two powerhouse people with you in this room you get to share the stage with.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Both of them. I mean, so, Joe, when you heard he passed, I mean, I'm sure devastated.
Very difficult.
Yeah.
Very difficult. We went to the funeral. I went to his wedding as well. Oh. And he lived up in Lake Arrowhead. We would go up there to see him. I don't know what to say about Joe. He's just bigger than life.
Yeah.
He was that character, that big.
But everybody you talk to loved him personally. Yeah. It's like, it's funny. Acting is just, it's all just acting, folks. And I mean, we know this, but then when you hear from people, when someone passes and you hear nothing bad about them, there's a lot about them.
Yeah. And he was on Days of Our Lives for how many years?
Off and on for like 100 years.
Yeah.
So, like, that's like a yes.
You know, it was,
you got a chance to have him for a while, so that's great.
I did.
You did. John McCook, what can you say about him? I think he looks better today than he does even back then. He looks good.
They used to have to gray his hair when we first started.
Oh, they did?
They put gray in his hair because he had to look older. He was technically only 7 years older than me.
Oh, my God. Oh, my, that's so fun. I did not know, you guys know that? I did not know that out there.
They would gray his hair, and as the years went on, they didn't have to gray it anymore.
Oh, that's so funny.
Shows the price we all pay for this stuff.
Oh, yes, we do. Well, I say that my gray hair is my years of wisdom. I've earned
it. You can call it as you wish. John was funnier than funny. He was our class clown. He was always the one making people laugh. Yeah. And sometimes he and I would get into laughing bouts where you can't help it.
Oh, yeah.
You can't stop.
Yeah.
Maybe during the rehearsal when we'd start laughing and then we couldn't stop. And we'd have to actually film it for real and we'd burst out. He'd wink or do something and we'd have to do it over again. John and I had a lot of fun and everybody loves John because he's just that.
Yeah.
He's that always doing little things, and he's got little sayings that he would do for 25 years.
Yes. I love it. Oh, my God. Now, here's a scene I showed the other day. Someone's bringing up in the chat room, too, because this is funny to me. This is when Stephanie slaps her son in 1988.
It has a lot to do with all of our lives, isn't it? No, Mother, you're wrong. It made a lot of difference. You gave Dad no choice. Knowing the kind of man he was, as soon as he found out you were pregnant, of course he married you.
He would have anyway.
Would he? What about Liz Henderson? Aren't you afraid he might have wanted to marry her? Oldest trick in the book, Mother.
Oof. That's a slap.
I know how you can be when you want something. You want a dad. You wanted him, and when you didn't think you could have him, you got yourself pregnant.
Nobody gets themselves pregnant.
Maybe not. You're a beautiful woman. From what Dad said, you were probably the most beautiful freshman on campus. I'm sure he was very flattered as hell to have the beautiful Stephanie Douglas after him.
That isn't how it happened at all.
No, then tell me. That's all I'm asking. Just tell me how it happened.
I can't believe that you're saying this. I can't believe. You actually think that I cold-heartedly trapped your father into marriage?
He was cold-hearted.
Do you want to know if I trapped Daddy by sex? I didn't.
I love it. I just had to show it. I just love it. You trapped Daddy by sex. She broke it down for you, didn't she?
She just said it for real.
She said it for real. So you want to talk that like this? Yeah, I'll break it down for you.
I think I was the first one to be slapped by Susan.
I think you were.
She slapped almost everybody at point during the show.
Yeah, I did a special on that. Yeah.
It hurt like hell.
Sure.
And it was for real.
People ask that. They say, look for real. It's outside hurts. It's for real.
It was for real. She had a technique and she never missed. It was always a one take thing. And she just whacked you and it was like, holy crap.
Yeah, Lord. Everybody's like, they loved it.
A couple of seconds I took before speaking again, it's like my mind sort of stopped spinning. Knocks the crap out of you.
I love it. Now, I want to show a clip. The next clip, this is from The Bay. We're talking about John Blackwell. I want to show this clip, and I love the scenery in this clip, so I want to show this. We're going to talk about The Bay next. How gorgeous that is.
Wow. Bob, this place is incredible. Stay here as long as you need to.
Are you sure we can afford this? Maybe we should find somewhere closer to San Diego, closer to Mom.
Son, this is one of the best rehab clinics in the nation. It's a good place for you to spend some time, get yourself straightened out. Besides, I have some business that I need to take care of in Bay City, and I want you closer to me. Okay.
Well, thank you for helping me out, Mom.
Damien, the important thing matters most of all. Is that you're alive. This is a new beginning for you, my son. I want you to make the most of it.
I will. I promise.
So I want to show that's a great scene. Beautifully filmed. I mean, just beautifully filmed. Hey, love it.
Can I turn people on to the Bay? People that may not know.
Please, that's why we're talking. That's why it's next. Please tell us.
The Bay is a new, relatively new series.
How many seasons now?
Two.
Yeah, two.
But we're about to launch our third season.
Someone just said it on here.
Within the next couple weeks, we're going to launch our third season, which is the best one so far. Just the way it looks and the storylines that are happening. The Bay is a series. It's not from San Francisco. It's a fictionalized place, like a Marina Del Rey type of place called The Bay. And I was the ex-district attorney. Went rogue, and now I seem like a bad guy, but I'm actually trying to clean things up.
Okay. Anti-hero, maybe?
Definitely anti-hero kind of guy. A lot of great characters on it. Our producer and main writer, Gregory J. Martin, has done a good job of integrating a lot of people from the daytime genre.
Yes, folks. Yes.
And that's kind of the secret of, because we know all these people. We know the actors and how they are, and they're all working together from these famous shows that you guys maybe or haven't grown up with, depending on how old you are.
Mary Beth Evans, who I know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Mary Beth. And it's just a good dramatic show. We shoot everything live on set, not set, on location. Mm-hmm. We use only live locations, wow. And it's cool. And it looks like a nighttime show.
It does.
We've been blessed to have the industry bestow on us two Emmys so far.
Yes, congratulations.
Which is very cool. And my wife and I are producers on the show as well. So we now have, between us, six Emmys.
Isn't that crazy? Wow.
It's kind of cool, isn't it?
That's very cool.
It's when we first started, we were a little web series, mm-hmm. literally 10 or 12 minutes.
I remember that, yes.
And then we expanded when I started being an actor on the show to a half-hour format. So it's been that from now on.
People are doing the hashtag Binge the Bay.
Binge the Bay. You can go to Amazon Prime. That's where that's our medium right now. Amazon Prime, and you can binge watch all of the Bay. But
Candy Poo says, "Yes, I am the Bay Pimp. I love it.
The Bay Pimp. I like that."
No, but it's a good show. I mean, and what we're telling you guys is, there's a lot of your favorite actors are on this series, and they come through the series because nowadays that's where it's at. There was Venice. There was Beacon Hill. There's Ladies on the Lake. I mean, there's a lot of shows out there now that are doing. They're taking your actors who know how to act,
mm-hmm.
who can do the work,
yeah,
and you're giving them work.
Absolutely,
and another role to play.
They've been proven. You don't have to guess with what's going to happen. You know what they're going to be able to handle and all. It's great, and the Bay has been really good. It's been fun to watch the progress of how it has grown and gotten better and better and better and better. So check out the third season coming up pretty soon.
Yes. It's
Binge the Bay.
Hashtag Binge the Bay in here. Michelle D says the bone structure is everything. Yes. We love you. We know his bone structure. Also, I want to know.
By the way, people have always asked me. I might as well just say this. People have always asked me about the plastic surgery and stuff. They will take a picture of me way back when and take a picture and show me now. And they'll go, look, it's obvious he's had plastic surgery. And I go, really?
Yes.
First thing I do is go, have you watched Bold and Beautiful for how long? Well, since the beginning. Have you ever known me to be gone long enough to do anything?
Well, that's true. You were on a lot. You were a front burner all the time.
All the time. They were, well, no. I said, look, as far as plastic surgery, I had a credit card cut off once. Does that count?
Plastic surgery. I like that.
But don't blow.
I like that. Oh, there you go.
There
you
go.
I like it. Give me a second. I was like, oh, now I get it. I totally get it. I like that. All right, that's a good one. Now, I'm looking at him right now. He looks good. There's no plastic surgery. It's him. It's all him. It's all him. So stop it.
Stop it.
Stop it. There's no. Don't take pictures from 20 years ago and try to do that. We all look different from 20 years ago.
If I did something, I would say it.
I believe you.
I think it's pretty obvious at some point when people do that. So just say it. Just own it.
Yeah.
And say it.
Yeah.
You know, and get over it.
You have a full life. And you know, and I interviewed his wonderful wife, Deborah DeVasquez. You can find that interview on Black Hollywood Live. She's wonderful. And I mean, you have your Cajun sauce. You have also barbecue sauce too.
I got jealous of her having her own spice, so I made a barbecue. Ron's kick-ass barbecue sauce. I had to do it.
Yeah, you had to. Hello.
It's good. It's really, really good. But I'm most proud, I think, of this spice because Devin wanted to give something back to the. Horrific thing that happened with Katrina in the South, and she's from Baton Rouge, so she wants to, you know, a good part of it of each canister goes to that fund.
Very good. Yes, we all get you back. Back. But you're venturing into. I mean, you're producing. Was it Devron Productions?
Devron Productions.
I love it.
Devronn.
Yeah, I love it.
It just sounded catchy to me. I don't know.
Okay. So you folks. Say, okay, Ron with two N's. Do people forget the second N? Do they ask
it's like
real?
They can't see it.
I'm sure, right?
It's just weird that they can't see it. I even have friends that I'll email them and I'll I'll sign it Ron, R-O-N-N. Hey, you know, and it's even, they've looked at it so many times. So, Ron, R-O-N. And I go, oh, you guys just don't see it. And I start putting three N's, then four.
Ron.
How many do I need to freaking do before you see it?
So, I believe it. So that's why I was asking. I believe it.
When I was a kid, it was just Ronnie. R-O-N-N-I-E. I just dropped the I-E.
Because you're an adult.
Simple. And it also made it easier. It made it more unique to go into AFTRA and SAG.
Okay, yeah.
The Screen Actors Guild, because you can't have someone with the same name. Right. So there's no other Ron Moss.
It's a strong name. To me, it's a strong, solid name. You know?
Two N's, two O's, two S's.
You got it. Now, as we start to wrap up, you just got to mention briefly Celebrity Wife Swap. How was that experience?
That was interesting. I think Devin had more fun than I did because she was with Tyler Christopher's little 5-year-old boy back then. And they got along great. I thought she thought she was going to have a lot of problem handling a kid and all that. And it turned out wonderfully for her. They bonded. The kid loved her.
Yeah, you remember that, yeah.
So because, and we found this out after the fact, because we cannot know what they're doing.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
They keep it very copacetic like that. You cannot.
So you really don't know anything.
You really don't know anything what's going on.
Okay.
So I figured out that they were having such a good time that me and Tyler's wife could not. We had to be the rub.
Okay.
We had to be the contentious couple.
Yes.
We had to come up with all. So they were constantly saying to me, Ron, we need you to push back here. We need you to push back and all this. I go, well, we're having a great time. And they basically went, we don't care. We need you to push back.
Wow.
So I figured out that the other side was doing well. We can't.
Okay.
She and I did so many great things. We went horseback riding, bicycling. Wow. We had all these great times, and they cut it all out.
Oh, my God.
They just wanted us to fight. So she'd make some great little salad, and I'd just go, that's all you came up with? This sucks. And I just realized, okay, I got to play a character here.
Yeah, I got to play a character. So. He's a true professional. And also, we're running out of time, but he was also on Dancing with the Stars Italy, and he did some stuff on there. And you came in second place.
I came in second place.
Is that crazy? You came in second place.
We'll show a little clip
over there. Jive. I give you so many points for doing that. I mean, that must be just nerve wracking.
It is so nerve wracking.
Did you speak English, your dance partner?
I did. I had to speak Italian at certain times, too. On top of learning the two dances a night, I had to, try and memorize some Italian. It was crazy.
So let's watch some of that. So you must,
this was literally probably one of the hardest things I've ever had to do.
But you probably felt accomplished, though, didn't you?
Hard because I only had 4 hours to learn my two dances.
4 hours?
4 hours. Everybody else had 6 days.
Okay, that's crazy.
I was still doing Bold and Beautiful.
Oh, my God.
I would fly out on Monday morning.
Oh, my God.
I would be back. I would do my shows Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Fly out late Thursday to Rome. Arrive Friday morning in Rome. Go right to the studio downstairs and learn my two dances. Oh 4 hours, basically. Oh and then the next night, we had to perform it live. And I did that for 3.5 months.
Because you lasted until the end. You lasted to...
We do the live show Saturday night. Next morning, Sunday, I'd get on a plane, come back to the United States, and start the whole thing again. It was crazy.
It was crazy.
I had 4 hours. They had 6 days.
I'm impressed. I'm even more impressed then.
I just had to turn into the Energizer Bunny.
Yeah, you had to.
I hit the ground. It's like, Sarah, ready?
I figure you had just had to do it. You just had to do
my
it.
My partner, Sarah DeViro, was so great, so great. Oh, she had a lot of energy, and she just gets in there like, you ready? Yes, let's do it. You know, and the Italians are walking around. The guys that have been there for six days, they're like this. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I go, Sarah, you ready? Let's go. I'm the oldest of all of you.
Wow.
I have to travel all this way. I have 4 hours to learn what you've had 6 days. I'm going to win this thing. I'm going to win.
And Bold Beautiful's big in Italy, so it's big all over the world. So now you had to win it. You had to go. But second place is good.
Second place is great. I lost to the 19-year-old girl that had 5 years of dance lessons.
Oh, well, hello. Well, there you go. So you're still number one then. She's a ringer. That's right.
That's right.
Ron Moss, thank you for being on the show.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure.
It's nice to be had.
It is, especially nowadays, right? Let's be had still.
Let's be had. Sometimes it's good to be had. But thank you. I'd say hi to all the fans, all you guys. Thank you for joining us, and you can tune in after the fact and see all your comments. Do you have the comments? They float like the way they are.
Yeah, they're all here like this.
Oh, cool.
In the chat room, and then you'll see them on YouTube. People will be commenting. People were ready for you to come on. They were already commenting before I started making the announcements like a week ago, 2 weeks ago. They're commenting.
Well, we should do this again after I get back from the Belgium gig.
Yes, let's do it.
Let's do it.
Sounds good. Guys, Ron Moss, you guys, thank you for watching us. We are here at AfterBuzz TV. You can follow us on iTunes, YouTube, and SoundCloud under Spotlight Ons. Of course, you can find, and this will be on here. You can follow me at James Lott Jr. I'm all over the place. Just I won't show up to your house, but I'll show up, you know, on your tablet, your phone, your TV, whatever device you have. But go ahead and subscribe, like, write, comment. If you have comments for him, write them. He'll read them. He'll look at them.
Absolutely.
See what's going on. And maybe he'll respond to you. Would you like that? Hi to Katka, I believe her name
Katka.
Is. Katka. In Slovenia.
I call her Kit Kat.
There you go. Also like that.
Hello to Kit Kat.
Aww.
And Brittany. Sending love to you guys.
Oh, I love it. That's good. See what a nice guy he is. You guys, tune in to see. I'll see you guys next time. I'll see you this weekend for the Bold Breakdown. See you next time.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.